Rock Church. The Seattle Church, our sister church in Seattle, sends their greetings. I happened to be there the last couple days, just got back. And you know what? It's so encouraging to be with that church. They're applying faith. They haven't grown a lot over the years. They just have a small group of people, but was able to go out there and just help them in faith. And you know what? That's what I want to do tonight. Help all of us in faith, because you know what? God loves faith, and He loves when we have faith and display faith, doesn't He? And tonight we're going to talk about faith. And we're going to take a little break from the 1 Peter series, the set apart, just a little break. I'll come back and finish that at the end of this interruption, a three-week interruption, where we're going to do a three-week Roots Revisited, our faith raiser. Again, it's going to be like an injection of faith for our whole church. We did our Roots campaign 18 months ago. It's halfway through already. And we're going to do a little midterm Roots campaign, just a faith-raising shot in the arm interruption. But before that interruption, I have to interrupt that with another interruption. But this isn't really an interruption. This is a good thing. What is tomorrow? Mother's Day. Mother's Day. Amen. And we just want to say happy Mother's Day to those mothers. And we want to honor mothers here at Saturday night. Now, I don't know if you've ever done this, but my goodness, we have more and more and more mothers on Saturday night. So we thought, you know what? We need to start honoring mothers on Saturday night. Don't you think that's a good idea? I think it's a good idea. How many of you have known a mother in your lifetime? You've known? Okay. How many have had a mother at one point or another? Raise your hand. Very good. Now, how many have been a mother at one time? Hayden, put your hand down because that's not you. Okay. Raise your hand back up if you're a mother. And could I have a little house lights, please, Michael? That'd be wonderful. Yes, mothers, if you just raise, stand up, moms. Just stand all the way up here. Come on. If you're a mom, stand up. Amen. Moms, do not sit down. Okay, you can sit down as soon as you get a little present we're going to give you. There, we have flower roses going through the audience. Find a mom. There's a mom right over there. We missed her. Right over there. That's good. Came right to mom and gave her one. You get moms. Yeah, get all the moms a rose. We just want to tell you that we love you and we appreciate you. And here's the deal. I'm going to give you a mini Mother's Day message. I mean, it's mini, but it's good. Okay, it's going to be short and good. We bless you guys. We want to bring back the honor to Mother's Day. We want to resurrect that by giving you flowers and just acknowledging the fact that God honors mothers. Now, listen up here. I want to tell you something. We understand also, I need to acknowledge that there's some people we know, and I know from experience, that Mother's Day is a hard day. Maybe you've had a mother that's passed away. Maybe you've wanted children but have not been able to or had the occasion to have children, and that can be a hard day for you. We understand that. We want to acknowledge that as well. But at the same time, God says to honor mothers, so we're going to do that. We can leave the house lights up if we could. I love seeing their faces. I appreciate that. We're going to honor you guys. And this is a cartoon that we've had on our refrigerator for years, and I kind of like it. How did God know I wanted you for my mother? I love that. How did God know? Here's the deal, moms. Sometimes you wonder this, but just let me emphasize that you are the perfect mother for your children. You are the perfect mother for your children. And that is a fact. And you need to believe that. Sometimes I think you can doubt that. God picked you to be the mom for your kids. And here's a couple quick points for you, all right? God wants us to honor mothers because He commands us to. Look at this verse in Exodus 20, verse 12. It says, "Honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you and that you may live a long life on the earth." This is the first command with a promise. Honor your father and your mother so that you get blessed. When we dishonor our parents or we don't give them the honor due them, then we don't get the second part of that promise. Honor your father and your mother so that it may go well with you, that you may have a long life on earth. Man, I don't know about you, but that is a promise I want in my life. We need to honor our mother and our father. You say, well, you don't know my mom or my dad. I say, you're right, I don't. But I do know the Bible, and the Bible still says, honor your father and your mother. You can find something to honor them with. You can at least be nice to them. Give them a call. You know what? The Bible doesn't say you can only be nice to people that are nice to you. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus said just the opposite. Be nice to your enemies. And I want to tell you something. Moms, we honor you. Because you have the most difficult job in the world. You do. And that great theologian and expert on motherhood, Mark Twain, said this, and you'll love this. He said, I love this quote. It's one of my favorite. It says, when children turn 2 years old, you should put them in a pickle barrel and feed them through a hole. When they turn 13, you should plug the hole. Amen? Amen. Fact is, moms, again, we can't spend all evening on this, but I just want to share with you a few quotes that are some of my favorites that just emphasize the fact that, listen, moms, you have an amazing opportunity to influence your children and the world. Here's what John Adams said. John Quincy Adams said, all that I am, my mother made me. He was somewhat influential. We also have George Washington. I am what I am because of my mother, the founder of our country. And then finally, Abe Lincoln himself said, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. Now, moms, here's a verse that you should memorize. It's Proverbs 14:1. I don't have it on the screen. I don't even have it in front of me. Proverbs 14:1. It says, a wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, a foolish one tears hers down. You have that power, moms. A wise woman will take that power and build her house, influence her children. A foolish one tears her household down. I've got that memorized. You should memorize it, moms. Be a wise woman. We honor you. Let's give moms another round of applause, if we could. Amen. For a job well done. God bless you. 18 months ago, we started a new series. We called it Roots. And what that was in our church, we got to a point, especially in our Sandy location, if you've been there, God has blessed. He's caused us to grow. We're in a facility that we're literally month by month. We've been that way for 5 years. And we started thinking, you know what? They could kick us out with a 30-day notice, and we have, 600 people. We should probably figure out a game plan B. You know, what are we going to do if they kick us out? And so we started thinking, let's get a place of our own. And God gave us a vision. We call it Roots. The idea is to go down deep in our community for further reach. That was kind of our game plan, the vision God gave us. How many were here 18 months ago and kind of went through the Roots campaign with us? Yeah, a bunch of you. Now, I happen to know that there have been at least 250 families that have come and visited and are now a part of our church from that 18-month point. 18 months, in the last 18 months, we've had about 250 families join us and be part of our church. So they were not a part of the Roots. You get that? You understand how that works? But we want you to be a part. And really what this is, it's a faith-raising campaign. We're trying to raise the level of faith in our church. Like I said, God loves faith. My verse for this year was Mark 6:6, when Jesus was in his own hometown. And Jesus looked at all the people. They didn't believe in him. He couldn't do many miracles. And you know what Jesus said? He said he was amazed at their lack of faith. That's my verse for the year. Because I don't want to get to the end of 2010 and have Jesus say, Bill, I was amazed by your lack of faith. I want to be a man of faith. And as a church, we want the faith level of our church to go up. So we did a campaign. We called it Roots. And our vision is to have 20 life-giving, gospel-preaching churches or services by the year 2020. We have five right now. We have five services. We have three locations, five services. We had six services on Easter, which was phenomenal. It was exciting. And we believe God wants us to have an impact in this valley and in this state and therefore the world. We really believe that. We're not an island unto ourselves. We do it with other churches for sure, but we want a piece of the pie. We want to be a part of it. And we are. But we can't do it without each other, without raising our faith and going, you know what, God, what do you want us to trust you for? To have 20 services by the year 2020, that's going to take a lot of resources, it's going to take a lot of faith, take a lot of you stepping out in faith. So this is kind of a shot, this is a little shot in the arm of faith. That's what this is. It's to allow all of us to be stirred up in faith, and especially for those that have come in the last 18 months and haven't heard about the Roots campaign, for you to be a part, to be able to jump in for the last half of this faith-raising capital campaign that we started 18 months ago. So you kind of get what we're getting at here. In your program, what you see here is a kind of an artist's conception, or really what it is, it's a pastor's conception, because I drew this, if you can believe that. That's what I did. I love doing stuff like this. This is the conception of what our building would look like. We actually purchased land because what we did a faith-raising capital campaign, and we asked people to pray about how they could contribute financially. That's what you do. You raise money so we can go out and get a building or get land. We ended up buying land. People contributed $1.5 million from this church. It wasn't just a cash gift, but over the next 3 years, we're halfway through, that was the pledge. So at the end of that time, we should have $1.5 million. Now, we purchased land, which in this area is really expensive. It's over $1 million just for the land, and we're paying for that right now. But here's where the land is. You can kind of see it. I want to fill you in a little bit on what's going on. So we purchased this. It's about 3 acres right here in Draper. This is 114th, where they're doing all the construction for the new on-ramp right over here. So there's going to be a brand new connection to I-15 right here. And this is where everybody's going to come off. There's the Harmons right on 114th. And this is 7th East. I don't know if you can see my little, people tell me you can't see my laser, can you, back there, right? On this, where the red little square is. That's our land. This would be where the building is, and the rest would be pretty much parking lot. Because it's not a huge chunk of land, all right? The building will probably be 30,000 square foot. Where we meet now is about 12,000 square foot. We'll have 2 stories. This is kind of the first level, this whole level over here. I'm looking at the bottom of the diagram. This will be a second story as well. And we haven't even, this is just dreaming, all right? We're going to pay for the land, but we don't have money for the building, okay? I'm just being honest with you. We're at phase one, and that is we purchased the land, which is a pretty good, you got to have dirt to build a building, right? So we got a good piece of land. God bless. It's going to be an amazing corridor. That whole, you see what they're doing in construction there? You guys know what I'm talking about? That is going to be historic Draper from 114th all the way to 124th, right in front of our building. They're redoing the whole thing to make it beautiful. So we're going to have our building right there on historic Draper 700 East. So that's where we're at. That's where God has brought us. We're halfway through. We're going to do a little shot in the arm faith raiser here for 3 weeks. And again, we start with prayer. Prayer is where it always begins, isn't it? Prayer is where we started 18 months ago. Prayer is where we begin today. And it reminds me of a story of a pastor friend that I heard about. If you can believe this, I can't even believe this. But one Sunday morning, he was just kind of burnt out. And he said, I'm not going to church today. And he called in sick. And he decided to go golfing. I just can't even imagine that. I would never do anything like that. I wouldn't. He called in sick. He told his deacons, hey, I'm not feeling good. I'm going to sleep in here. I can't preach this morning. So the deacons preached. They told the whole church prayed for him. They're all concerned about him. He snuck out of the house, got his golf bag, and went out of the house. He couldn't golf around the church because people might see him. So he went out of the county. He drove a couple hours, found a really nice golf course, and thought he was in heaven. And so he thought he was in heaven. He decided to pray. He said, God bless my golf game. He gets up to the tee, tees up the first hole, a par three. Hole in one, first shot. Can you believe that? Now, take your mind's eye up to heaven. The angels are watching this and they're going, God, how could you do that? How did you answer his prayer? And he cheated on your children. He's supposed to be a pastor and he's skipping out on church. God, I can't believe that you let him do that. You answered his prayer. God kind of looked at the angels and smiled and said, who's he going to tell? You got to be careful what you pray for. Tonight, I want to give you 3 dangerous prayers. This is a message where you're going to go away. Tomorrow, somebody's going to ask you, what did you learn in church last night? You're going to be able to tell them. It's that simple. There's 3 simple points that I want you to go away with tonight. 3 dangerous prayers that will raise our faith and move us from being, I like to say it this way, move us from being simply attenders to being contenders for the faith. Not just sitting and soaking and rotting, but be contenders, spiritual contenders in the game, making a difference. Don't you want to make a difference? Man, I do. Being in Seattle this weekend, man, I want to help those guys be contenders. I want them to grow. I want them to experience what we've experienced and more. And I want you to, too. Yeah, I want you too, I guess. So we're going to talk about that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for tonight. Thank you that you have blessed us so much, and we thank you for that. Thank you that you put a spirit of evangelism in this church. I'll just say it that way. That is exactly what you've done. That we are sold out. We believe that you've called us to go beyond this room. And that has saved us, and that has caused you to bless us, I believe. There's so many people that are on fire to share the gospel with others. Give them the good news. And I thank you for that. Thank you. You have blessed us. And I pray, God, that even as we began 18 months ago, that you would give us a shot in the arm as a church to raise the faith of this church. I pray that we'd be different after these 3 weeks. We'd be different after tonight. We'd pray differently. We'd expect differently. We wouldn't just be an attender, but we would be contenders for the faith. Do that in our lives, in our church, we pray. God, we don't want to play games. I don't want to. We don't want to. We don't want to play church. We don't want to just come and say, that was a really good message. Yeah, that was great. And go on our way. We want it to change us and touch us. Please do that. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So you guys ready? This is so simple. You guys are going to get this. I mean, I'm not saying that you wouldn't get it if it wasn't simple. It's not what I'm saying. But you are going to get this, all right? Three dangerous prayers. Number one, say it with me out loud. God, search me. Now, I got a little bit of steel in me, so that was not even close. That was not even good enough. Let's say it again. Ready? God, search me. That's prayer number one. And that is a dangerous, scary prayer. I was meditating on this on the plane ride home this afternoon, and it scared me a little. I got to be honest, because I had to tell God, if I'm going to preach it, I better be praying it right now. God, I want you to search me. You know, that's kind of like opening your finances to somebody that, yeah, the IRS maybe, or somebody like that, somebody that's going to help you. You say, would you help me with my finances? Well, you're going to have to lay it all out for me. That's scary, isn't it? They're going to know everywhere you spend your money, everywhere you waste money, all those things that you buy that you probably you know you shouldn't buy. You got to lay it open. That's what it is to pray to God. God, search me. You're opening yourself up. Look at this verse in Psalm 139. I love this verse. I have prayed this verse many times over the years. I prayed this as a young Christian. I remember pacing in the first household I was in their basement. It was moldy, but I remember pacing, crying out to God, this prayer, God, search me, all by myself. There's nobody else in the house. God, search me and know my heart. God, search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any hurtful way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. God, search me. The deal is, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. I happen to know a little bit about God from the Bible, and I happen to know God already knows my heart. So what's he saying? God, search me and know my heart. What I think he's saying is, God, search me and reveal it to me. Show me what's in my heart. Isn't that really what he's saying? Isn't that what we're praying? God, search me, know my heart. God already knows. He knows what's in my heart. The problem is, either I'm in denial or I'm deceived most of the time about the state of my heart. And I'm saying, God, cut it open and reveal it to me. Okay, reveal it to me, because we don't want to see it. And it hurts and it's scary. And that's a dangerous prayer. When you're honest enough to get before God and say, God, show me my heart. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you understand how that can be dangerous? Because you might just change. And it is a scary proposition to change. You know who prayed this? David prayed it. You know what's wild about David? He was a mess. King David was a mess. Do you realize that? We know that God called him a man after his own heart. God looked at David and said, man, that is a man after my own heart. But we also know about David that he was an adulteress. He murdered one of his best friends in cold blood. That he shed way too much blood. It says that about him. That wasn't good. He was kill happy. And he killed a lot of people. And he had a bad temper. And you know what? He prayed, God, search my heart. Show me my heart. If you're a mess, you can pray this prayer. If you're like David, you can pray, God, search me. Say it again with me. God, search me. Now, here's the deal. I want you to bow your head and listen to me. Because I thought about this. It's so easy to say the words. I want you to, you're going to pray that out loud with your head bowed, and you're not going to do anything until I tell you to do something after you pray it. So all together, we're going to say it again, and then just be quiet. Ready? Go. God, search me. Now just be quiet. Okay, look up. That was 20 seconds of God searching you. That's hard to do, isn't it? But when we pray, God, search me, we can't just say the words. You got to then take time to be still before God. I wanted to give you that example because that's exactly what you have to do, but for a lot longer. You have to say, God, search my heart, and then you stand before him somehow, alone, where nobody can see you. And you see, maybe it's late at night and you're taking a late night walk, and sometimes I do that and I look out over the city and God, search my heart. Reveal to me where I'm sinning, where I'm not in faith, where there's areas that don't please you. Search my heart. And as you're quiet, you know what? God is very gentle with us. I don't know if you realize that, if you've come to understand that, but I got a God that is so gentle with me. But he's willing to speak to me in those areas. And I don't hear an audible voice. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that he can speak to me. He convicts me in love. Sometimes all he says, Bill, I just love you, man. Chill out. You're getting too stressed out here. I love you. But an honest prayer, a dangerous prayer, God, search me, will often result in brokenness in our lives, as it should. God, search me. You may not like what he shows you. That's a warning. You may not like what he shows you. But you know what? It's a healthy habit to get into. The deal is that oftentimes we're deceived. We think we're right, but we're not. That's what deception is. I was driving to go fishing with a good friend of mine years ago, 1986 or so, I think. I was going to Canada from Minnesota. We started driving at midnight. And we drove way up into Canada, and then I turned what I thought was west, but I turned east because I was really tired. My friend was sleeping. I thought, I won't wake him. I'm pretty sure I'm going the right way. So I turned, and I started driving, and I drove 2 hours, 3 hours, and then the sun started coming up, and I started going, man, that sun is getting my way. It's kind of bright here. And I was driving east into the sun, and it just hit me. Wait a minute. Which way does the sun come up? Which way is I supposed to be going for the last 3 hours while my friend slept? I had to wake him up and tell him I was going 3 hours the wrong way. But it was the sun, you see, that helped me see it. And here's the deal. When you pray that prayer, God, search me, oftentimes what you need, because your heart's deceitful, your heart, you're in denial, you need an outside source to get in your face. You getting that? You need the sun in your face to snap you into reality that you got a heart problem. And you need to change direction. You got to turn around and go the other way. And if we don't take time to allow God to get in our face, the sun to get in our face, you know what? Oftentimes we just keep going the same direction. Oh, it was a long trip back. But I'm glad I didn't go much further. I'm glad the sun got in my face. Are you tracking with me on that? God, search me. We want God to search us. That's it. That's the first one. Say it again. God, search me. That's number one. See how easy this is. Paige, you see how easy this is? You're tracking with me, I can tell. Paige always tracks with me. Number two. Okay, you may not like it when he shows you. Number two. This is so simple, guys. Number two, God lead me. Say it with me. God lead me. The second dangerous prayer, and this is a selfless prayer. First one is a scary prayer. This is selfless. God lead me. Look what it says in Luke 22, verse 42. Father, if you are willing, who's praying this prayer, by the way? Jesus, yeah, Jesus. Let's say Jesus really loud this time. Who's praying this prayer? Jesus. Amen. You guys are so smart. Jesus is praying this. He said, Father, if you are willing. He wants him to do this. This is no joke. If you're willing, I hope you're willing, then take this cup away from me. Don't make me go to the cross. If you're willing, don't make it so I don't have to go through this. This was not a fun thing for Jesus to go through. If you are willing, take this cup away from me. Yet, not my will, but yours be done. Aren't you glad Jesus prayed that last part? Yep. Yet not my will, but your will be done, God. I will do your will. You just tell me what to do, even though I don't want to do it, even though it's going to be painful beyond imagination. If you want me to do it, I will do it. That's what Jesus was saying. And that's what it means to say, God, lead me. Are you willing to say, God, lead me? Not my will, but thy will. Oftentimes when we're praying, we're saying, God, bless my will. I know how this should go, God. I have a pretty good idea how this should turn out. And I need you, God, to bless my will. Bless it. Bless what I want to do. And we got to stop praying that. We got to say, God, not my will, but your will. God, lead me. That's what it means. It means to let go, to give control to God. When I say, God, lead me, I'm saying, God, you take control of my life. That's a dangerous prayer. Because I know you think the song is corny, but, you know, Jesus, take the wheel. I know you don't like it. But that's it. It's like, have you ever just lifted your hands up? Don't do that, but have you ever just going down, you lift it up? You know, God, take control of my life. That's what we're saying. We're saying, God, lead me. And here's something you need to know, another point. Selfishness leads me away from God's will, and you and I, we have a propensity for selfishness. I know I do. I do. I want what's best for me, and oftentimes it's God bless me. But Matthew 6 says this, verse 9 through 10. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what God wants us to pray. Not my kingdom, but your kingdom. That's what God wants. And know this, real life is found in letting God lead. When we give God control of our lives, when we truly mean that, God, you lead my life, God, lead me, then that's where we find life. Look what Jesus said. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The way you find true life is to finally give up control of your life and give it to God and say, God, I will do what you want. Your will be done, not my will. And you know what? That's so, that doesn't make sense to us that we give something up and then we find it. It doesn't make sense. But that's what God says. You lose your life for me and my sake, and guess what? You find life there. Oh man, I've seen this over and over in people's lives. I've seen it over and more than I could tell you. Of people that think they can find life by taking control. That's not where you find life. Men and women, that is not where you find life. There's frustration there. There's disappointment there. When we give control to God, that's where life is. Now, I wish I could stand here tonight and say for the last 29 years, since I've become a Christian, 29 years, that I've lived a perfect life. But there are way too many people in here that know me for me to say that. Not the least of which are three of my boys right over here. They know me. And Paige and Suge and Kim and Steele and Josh and Derek and all these guys and Brian, you know, the Squires have known me. And, you know, there's so many people in this room that I've had to apologize to and ask for forgiveness. So many. Again, not the least of which is my family that I've apologized and asked for forgiveness way more than anybody else. My family. I've had to do with all my boys and my wife over and over and over. I wish I could say that I was perfect. But I'm a mess a lot of times. And let's just get this out on the table right now. If you're new with us, if you stay long enough, I will offend you somehow. Okay, let's just get it out there, all right? Somehow you'll be offended by me or by the other pastors or by our staffers. We'll offend you somehow, all right? But then come to me because I'll ask for forgiveness. I will. And I'm not perfect. But here's the deal. In the ways I follow God, to the degree I follow God, I want to tell you something. I'm so glad that I have. I've chosen to follow him, to give up control, because if I hadn't, I would have missed my wife. I would have missed my kids. I would have missed this church and so many relationships. I would not have gotten those things if I had not said yes to God. God, you lead me. Not where I want to go, not where it makes sense, but if I just go this way, then I would have missed out on all this. I would have missed out on Sam, a week ago in the nursing home. Somebody asked me to go visit one of their relatives. And in his bed, he couldn't even hardly turn his head to look at me. I knew him. I'd met him. I reached out and grabbed his hand. It was just him and I in the room. And he began to cry as soon as I touched his hand. And he had lost his wife. I did his wife's funeral a number of months ago. And now he's just going downhill. And I just got right to business. I said, Sam, do you know for sure that if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven? And I explained the gospel to him. I said, would you like to repent of all your sins? Have you sinned, Sam? Are you a sinner? Yes, I've sinned. Would you like to repent and turn away from all the sins and tears? Yes. I said, well, you can do that. And I explained the gospel, and we prayed right there with tears in his eyes. This old man laying in a bed. I would have missed all that. And you know what? I thought at that moment, there's no better place I could be than right here with this man that I hardly know, and led him to Christ. That's what we get when we go where God leads. That's not where I would naturally go on a Thursday morning. God leads, and he blesses, doesn't he? We take control, we mess things up. We take control, we end up in the ditch, oftentimes. God, lead me. That's the second prayer. Here's the third prayer. So we got, what's the first prayer? God, search me. Second prayer, God, lead me. Third prayer, say it out loud, God, use me. This is the most dangerous. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as what? Living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Another version said, this is your reasonable response, is to give your body a living sacrifice. That's exactly what it means. Lay it on the altar. Imagine crawling up on an altar, having them light the fire, and you become a living sacrifice. That means give it all up. Lay it all down for Jesus. That is your reasonable response to God. That's your act of worship. God, use me. That's what that's saying. You're just saying, God, I will do whatever you tell me. I want you to use me. I want to be an influence in this world. Now, we all know that if you pray that prayer and you really mean it, say, God, use me, that you will immediately be shipped off to Africa to be a missionary. Right? We all know that, so you got to be careful. That's why it's so dangerous. That's what God does to everybody. That says, use me, you go to Africa. Okay? Actually, Africa sends more missionaries here than we send there. And that's a fact. Listen, this is a dangerous prayer. This is a do whatever it takes prayer. God, I will do whatever it takes. God, yes. The answer is yes. Now, what's the question? Yes, God. What's the question? I'll do it. See why that's so dangerous? You just use me, God. You guys, I'm not sure if you ever heard of this guy. His name is Joe Delaney. I heard about him last week when I was listening to a tape. Joe Delaney, he was a Kansas City Chief running back, 1981 to 1982. I remember that. I do. I was kind of a Chiefs fan back then. He was NFL Rookie of the Year in 1981, and he made the Pro Bowl his second year in the NFL. I mean, that's a good running back. He was phenomenal. But there's something that a lot of people didn't know about Joe Delaney. And that is this, that he hated water. He was terrified of getting in water. He didn't know how to swim. He hated swimming. And he was completely mortified to even step in water. In June 29, 1983, he was at a park, Critter Creek Park in Monroe, Louisiana. And there was a construction area, and there's this big area where they dug out a hole, and there's a bunch of water. It's like a man-made pond. And there's three kids out there, three boys swimming. And Joe Delaney was even nervous about that, and he was telling him to be careful and don't go out there, and he was kind of yelling at him, why don't you come on in? And what the boys didn't know was there was a 20-foot drop-off. There's a huge hole that had been dug by big equipment, and they didn't see that. And these boys didn't know how to swim either. And they fell into this hole while Joe Delaney was yelling at him. Joe hates water. What did he do? He dove in. Went after him, and he jumped out there, and one of the boys tells the story. He says, all I know is I went underwater, I was flailing, I came up and these big arms came around me and threw me into the shallow end. Joe Delaney took another kid, went in and got him, and he doesn't know how to swim. He's in the deep end. He's going under, he's coming up, finding a kid, and he threw the second kid. And then he went under and never came back up. Neither did the other boy. One of the boys survived. The other one died in the hospital. So two of them died, and Joe Delaney died. He had a great career. Why did he do that? Because he is a do-whatever-it-takes kind of guy. I'll do it. There's a need? Guess what? Joe Delaney would do it. And that's the kind of men and women God wants us to be. When we pray this prayer, God, use me, that's what he wants us to be. God, use me, even if it costs me. Use me. Will you use me, God? I am willing to be used. And the problem in Christianity today is that we are so much consumers, and we are not contributors. And it's so easy to come and listen and soak it in and never contribute, just to be an attender and not a contender. It's so easy to say, I like this church over here, I like the worship here, and I come here for the great teaching, I listen to the radio, and I get all this stuff, and you're not part of the body, and you don't serve, and you don't give, and you're not a true part of the body. You're just a consumer, and it breaks God's heart. And you don't have that spirit of, I'll do whatever it takes. I want to encourage you to be like Joe Delaney and say, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll pay a price to be a part of this body. I'll serve my brothers and my sisters. And you know what? We serve among those kind of people. They're scattered in here, are people that have Joe Delaney's heart. They would jump in after you. They have served. They've laid their lives down for you. Here's what I just want to encourage you. Why don't you start doing that? Why not? Say, God, use me. That's where it starts. You ask God to use you. Because at The Rock, I want to tell you something, it's just the opposite. We got people all over the place that are serving like that. But we need more. You got to do that. And I just thought, kind of to end here, because I'm almost done, is I just want to give you a look back. This will be kind of fun. A story of The Rock. How God uses ordinary people. And has used ordinary people. So many of you have been serving for so long. I just want to give you, I always figure pictures are better than just words. So let me just go do a quick flashback here. Especially for those of you that are pretty new, that don't know about our history, it was 11 years ago and 1 week that my wife and I moved here, and the McEnroys moved with us. We two moving trucks moved in the same, you know, four houses away. 11 years ago, can you believe that? And 1 week that we moved here to Utah. And that was the Rock Church. And then the Porters moved out, and the Hans moved out, and the Shocks moved out, and the Beelines moved out. We had six families. But I want to talk about it. Let's look at some pictures here. This will be even funner, all right? So here we go. This was 11 years ago and 1 week. Exactly. This is moving at my house in Loveland, Colorado. There's Jeff Porter, Mr. Porter, right? Top picture, left hand, that guy right there. Again, I've got people say they can't see my thing. So that's Jeff Porter. He's helping us move. This is... some of the team that came out and helped us move that day 11 years ago. The Rock began. 1999, it was our first service in my house. This was the first service. Again, top left-hand picture. This is the McEnroys. We had four people. If we count kids, I think we had 11 or something like that, okay? So that was our first service in my living room. This is my living room. And this is what we did. We just opened it up, and we began the Rock Church. And then we started growing. I think Paige and Suge and Kim, you're in this little picture somewhere. I can't see them all. You're in there. There's Kelsey. You kind of see. Some of you guys know these people. There's Paige right there. Is that you, Suge? I can't tell. All right. It is. Yes, it is. And Lindhan. And the Squires. There's Isaac, who is up here speaking about Honduras. He was there at these first meetings. Can you believe that was 11 years ago? Guys? Jenny's in disbelief. She's going, what? Yeah, it was. We had our first official service in a sports center, the Alta Kenya Sports Center. And this is it. This is a picture of me preaching at the very first service on October 16th, I think, 1999, or 17th. And this is the flyer we handed out. How many of you still have that gripper and using the gripper? Yeah, I do too. It's an awesome. We're going to give grippers away at our volunteer banquet. We decided to do that this year. It'll be awesome. So we had 101 people show up at our first service. Some of you are going, I'm encouraged by this, okay? So just to give you an idea of what's happening at the Rock Church, so I think they're going to play something here, all right? So you want to see a video? I thought you would take that out, Scrib, but maybe not. My bad. Anyway, pretend you didn't see that. Thank you. We did a commercial. We were so fired up. We did a commercial, and we filmed it. So we're going to see live film footage of us at the Alta Kenya Sports Center that first or second year. It was probably 2003 because I think we were planting the rock. But you get a picture, you get a feel for what we did. And you know, here's the deal. Here's why I want to show you this is because everybody you see there had this attitude of God, use us. We just want to be used by you. We don't know what we're doing. We're going to do a commercial. We showed it at Jordan Commons. And you know, you'll see the commercial. It's 30 seconds. It's fast. But it's the best. I mean, Andy did a great job with it. But this is who we are. Just get a feel for what we are doing. God use us type people here.
ExperienceTheRock.com.
Amen. Show that again. We got to see it one more time. Play that again. You miss it too fast. You got to watch it. They'll play it again. It's awesome. We spent a lot of money on that. We got to get our money's worth out of this. I'm serious. Play it again. Not as easy as I thought. I know you're working on a script. That's my bad for you. Had it out already, didn't you? You're ready for the next thing. Yeah. Too bad, brother. Put it in. I love Scrib. Give Scrib a round of applause, man. Woo! We got all night, don't we? We got all night. You guys got nothing going on.
Only Jesus.
Amen. Talk amongst yourselves just for a second here. Oh.
Hey, what's your excuse?
ExperienceTheRock.com.
All right, fire it up again. No, I'm just kidding. No. So, man, we were just, all those guys, just the spirit, let's just go out and do something. Let's be used by God. God, use me. That was 1999 up to 2000. This was the Colorado team. Obviously, we had a core team that I gathered in Colorado, and we teamed up, and we worked for a year together to plan on coming out here. And this is the whole team, including kids. So what's interesting is, look at the little kids. There's Stephen. There's, if you know Stephen and Joseph, and got here's Kelsey over here. We got Brenna right there. If you know Brenna, Colin, where's Colin? He's right there. I'm sorry that you guys can't see my pointer, but yeah, right on the right side there. So these are people that were just saying, God, use me. And so we came out, and there, we met Paige, and like I said, Paige and Susan came, and they know everybody, so they brought a bunch of people, and we started reaching the whole valley because of those guys. And God, we totally scored when we got... met up with those guys. So we're going to move on here. 2003, our last service at Alta Kenya Sports Center. I took the picture. We had over 200 people that were meeting with us after about 3.5 years at the sports center. Again, our kids met in racquetball rooms. We baptized people in the hot tub right there at Alta Kenya Sports Center and sometimes out in the pool. We had Olympic-sized baptismal. We baptized people out there. And we baptized a bunch. Bunch of people got baptized. Bunch of people got saved. And our church grew, and it grew, and there's no way we could stay there anymore, so we started looking for another place, and shortly after 2003, and then Steve McEnroy got recognized as our second full-time pastor right here in 2003, and he's a man, above all men, that says, God, use me. He encourages all of us, him and Jeannie, to have that spirit of, God, use me, and God has used the McEnroys like crazy to grow churches and to grow this church. And there's Paige, and she was on staff with us, and Suge was on staff with us, and there's my beautiful wife and Kim, and Steele was just about on staff. I don't think you were at that point. You were just hanging out to get free food, I think, brother, but it's all right. We put him on staff. He comes to eat, we hire him, okay? So in 2003, we found the building in Sandy. Here it is. You can't hardly see, but it is completely trashed. There's water pipes broken running in. This whole place is just trash. This is a sanctuary where we meet right now. If you've ever been there, right here, I'm pointing up to the right. It's all torn up. We redid all that, and it looked like this when we were done. So it took a while, took a bunch of money. We fixed it up, and we started to grow there in Sandy. Then I told Suge and Paige, and those guys said, would you like to have a church that your friends would like coming to? And they said, yeah. I said, here's some money. Go find a building. Paige found this building. This is what you're looking at right here. You're looking at that back wall right there where the sound booth now is. The stage is turned around. Where I'm taking a picture from is, you know, I'm looking at that stage right now, if that makes sense. Anyway, we found just this half of the building. Paige found it, and we rented it, and we fixed it up, and it turned into this. And this was our rock church. We planted this church in 2003, and we had 251 at our first service. So God's doing great things, and we've been here ever since. So we move on, 2003, go up to 2006, and Josh and Steele were recognized as our third and fourth full-time. Josh isn't full-time. He doesn't get paid a penny. He should be, but he's bivocational. He works as an engineer, and all the time Josh puts in, preparing messages, leading small groups, leading our church, he does it on his own dime. I don't know if you knew that. He's not got a penny from us, but he needs to. We need to pay the man. And yeah, amen. So this is when they got recognized, 2006. I'm just flying through these. Then we planted the Provo Church in 2007. Mac took a team down to Provo. Some of them were already there. And we had 481 people at the first service in Provo. Yeah, amazing. And they're going great guns now. Now they have two services. They have a Sunday morning and a Friday night service. And God is blessing like crazy down there. This year, we had our 10-year anniversary last fall. And this is pictures from that. It was amazing. Over 600, I don't know how many people were there, but we had meals and we had fun and we reminisced about the past. And I think this is a picture. You can't see it very well, but there are a ton of people. And we just celebrated what God has done over the past 10 years. It's amazing. It was electric. It was exciting. At Easter this year, 2010, we had 1,550 people in our services. We had 29 salvations that weekend alone. At our Easter services, 29 people. This year, from January 1st till now, it's not been very long, we've had 77 salvations. Now, this is the cool thing, is that that's not just one evangelist, although we have evangelists. We call them, you know, I'm going to use somebody else's joke. You know, Macintosh just came up with a new, what is it? It's an application to share the gospel. It's called the iTad. Yeah. Somebody sent me that. I love it. Tad shares the gospel. He sees lots of people saved, but out of those 77 saved, 29 of you have led somebody to Christ in that 77. It's not just one person. 29 of you have led people to Christ that we've got recorded. I bet there's more than that. I just think it's amazing. Some people, honestly, a lot of churches pray for one salvation a month, and that would be a faith goal. We've seen 77 in the first 4 months, and we're just getting started. And I want to, if you've gotten saved, by the way, you need to get baptized next. I'm serious. If you've been saved, you need to get baptized next. And we'd be glad to do that right here, okay? So we got to keep moving here. So what's next? I have a video I want to show you. Here's what the video is. Again, this is a Roots Revisited series. We've come all that way, so what's next? That's the question. For us, what's next is we want to get a home of our own in the Sandy Draper area that we can all use, a facility that doesn't leak every time it rains, a facility that we can't get kicked out of in 30 days, a place where the community will go, these guys are serious. I'm going to check this out. They're here. They're part of the community. And that means land, and that means a building for us. That means 20 services by the year 2020. And we put together kind of a promo video to help us understand this, to get a vision, to get our vision. It starts off with some fun stuff, but you're going to watch it now. It's long. It's 11 minutes, but you're going to like it. Okay, this is the vision for our Roots campaign. I'll come back, summarize, and we'll be done. But just watch this because I want you to catch what we're doing here. What's next for us? This is part of it. This is a huge part of it. So watch this video, and we'll be right back.
I believe I'll have a double ristretto venti, non-fat organic chocolate brownie frappuccino, extra hot with foam and whipped cream, upside down blended. Oh, with sprinkles, please. Oh, and a chocolate milk.
Welcome, good morning. We're excited this morning to announce that God is doing something big in our church. You know, in the Old Testament, God often asked the Israelites to give sacrificially, to build a tabernacle, to accomplish the purposes He has. We need to bear this in mind as we embark on this new building project in which we believe God's called us to buy a permanent facility in Sandy. as you contemplate how you can give sacrificially, understand this. It's not about the money, it never is. It's about your heart and your faith. God wants you and I to give sacrificially so that His purposes can prevail. Keep in mind that this is more than just a fundraiser, this is a faith raiser.
We have 1,000 people divided by 3 churches. Now, of course, they're not going to give. So if we have 929 people, and each one of them is, of course, they're moving to Texas. Oh, I like all those zeros.
Got it, Dad, I got it.
Huh?
For the faith raiser, I decided I could sacrifice my milk money each week. 52 weeks a year, or 3 years, adjusted for inflation, of course, comes to a whopping...
Wait a minute, son. That's small potatoes. We got big dollars at stake here. There's big fish to fry. What you need to think? Walgreens, Walmart, Wall Street, Fortune 500, bears and bulls. We got to dig down deep so we can give. We got to look at these numbers again. I don't know about that. And then there's that new carpeting, and the city will never let us go that big. And all those little kids eating all those cookies. Maybe we better cut the cookies out. What would Ben Bernanke do? What am I gonna do? Oh, look here in my books. Huh? Faith raiser plan. I believe I'll have,
Dad, I got it. For the faith raiser, I decided I could sacrifice my milk money each week. 52 weeks a year, or 3 years, adjusted to inflation, of course.
No, thank you.
Now, today we're standing in a beautiful grove of quaking aspens in the Wasatch Mountains. What you might see in this grove is a bunch of individual trees, but the fact of the matter is we have one organism because all these trees are connected together at the root, making it the largest organism on the planet Earth. In a lot of ways, I think this illustrates what God has done at the Rock Church. We have 4 services in 3 locations, but really we're one church. We are rooted together by our common values, by our commitment to the Great Commission, and God has us digging our roots deeper at this point so that we can have much more influence and spread out like this aspen grove. And as the gospel of Jesus Christ takes root in the hearts of the good people here in Utah, I believe the Rock Church has a significant role to play. If we win Utah, we will reach the world. I base that on the confidence of what God has done in the past.
Remember the first church service that we ever had was actually in this house. I can remember the boys greeting us at the door, and Bill handed us a program. He had actually printed off a program for the first church service that we had. And we had no idea what was going to happen at the time. We were just trusting God, you know, in the Psalms it says to delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. And we were delighted in the Lord, and we just had fun together seeking Him. And when I think back, I do think of different relationships that began right in this living room. My small group down the road here, we actually went from 1 small group to 3, and that was a big event in our church at that time. Over the years, we had a number of different married small groups where God would use those to help people in their marriages. And yet today, when I go to the different services, and we've grown so much, but I can still look over the crowd and see a few of those original couples and their marriage is going strong, and that blesses my heart. There have been hundreds, if not thousands, of people that have come to know the Lord from those simple beginnings, from those roots, from that very beginning. I remember Bill and I and Mary just sitting here. We had no idea what God was going to do, but we trusted Him, we loved God, and we loved each other, and God used that.
My sweet Jesus, give my life to you. When I think about The Rock, those days and the Alta Canyon days, there's been a life transformation that's happened in me. I trace all that I am to those few moments then. Back then, when I just walked into those doors and people loved on me and I heard the truth. In the beginning, it really was about God getting a hold of my heart. Now, when I compare it to today, Jesus Christ and the local church defines my life. The first time I walked into the church, Bill was playing drums. Oh, that guy's playing drums? And now he's going to get up and preach? This is the coolest church. So it's always been awesome in terms of music. It has always just busted the status quo. For me, it kind of started with an acoustic guitar, and I had some music stands, and I was reading the words and had the chords in front of me, and it has just absolutely evolved. And now it's about, how can we do it more excellently? How can we do it with passion? How can we honor God? And how can I start bands and have more musicians and start a movement of music that is defined by loving God? So it started small, and now it really kind of keeps me up at night.
My wife and I, when we visited, and we stayed with Bill and Mary, and the church was meeting in that rec center in Sandy. We had a great time, and we decided we're going to move out here and be part of this church. And that was right as they were just starting to finish up the remodel of the Sandy facility. So people have been working on the building downtown for months, getting it ready, and there's been painting and cleaning and all kinds of stuff. And Steele calls me and goes, we got to come up with five guys that can pour concrete for the coffee bar. And I remember five guys showed up, and Steele came over to me and he like shook my hand. He's like, dude, there's five faithful guys working right now. And I was like, whoa. Years later, when we redo the building a couple years later, there's 40, 50, 60, 70 workers that are working on four nights a week, and there's crew leaders each night, and it's just a whole army of laborers. Sandy is planted downtown, and Sandy's planted Provo, and we planted Provo. I think that just shows how God was growing our church, not just in terms of buildings and numbers, but actual disciples that would do some work for the Lord. This has never been about the building. This is about all the people that are getting saved and growing in their faith.
You know, it's exciting to see what God has done in the past at The Rock Church, isn't it? But it's even more exciting for me to think about what He wants to do in the future. We believe God wants us to start 20 services by the year 2020. In order to do this, we believe God would have us buy a permanent facility in Sandy. It would be our first permanent facility, and I believe for the first time it would give us the roots we need to grow deeper so that we could have further reach, better than we ever have.
For those of you that know me, I'm an excitable person, so it wasn't hard for me to get excited when I heard about the Roots campaign. At first, I thought of it as a rock campaign, but we have a big part in this too. This is bigger than the Rock Church. This is about a relationship with myself and God, and this is a relationship about you and God. By trade, I am a professional fundraiser, and this is like nothing that I've ever done before. This is about stewardship. This is about prayer. This is about furthering and deepening your relationship with God. This is a historic campaign for The Rock Church. It is like nothing we've ever done before. This is a faith raiser. The Roots campaign is the opportunity for us to gain stability as a church. We can attract people to this church. It also gives us a central location for us to plant new churches and services. This is a place that we can grow new leaders. And this is a place that you can call home.
There's a great verse in Isaiah 43:19, and it says this, "See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making roadways in the wilderness and streams in the desert." Do you perceive what God's doing in Utah through the Rock Church? If you do, here's what it comes down to. I want to encourage you to get before God and pray and ask Him how you can be involved with the rest of us, not to pray, how much should I give God, but how can I be involved sacrificially with the rest of this church to make this dream come about?
And when you do, we will grow roots that will help us reach this culture like we never have before. Let's join together to make history.
Amen. Just ordinary people. That's all we are. That's all, everyone that's helped with this campaign, that's helped with the Rock Church, that have reached so many people, is just ordinary people saying, God, search me, God, lead me, and God, use me. That's really all it's been. And I just want to encourage us, I want you to be involved. Ask yourselves a question. Do you want to continue to live a life of status quo, or do you want to be a part of something bigger than yourself? That's what we're all about. We're not playing games. We want to have impact and influence in this culture, in this state, and in this world. And we think this is where God's leading us. So we want you to be a part. So here's three things you can do. A 30-day challenge over the course of this series is the 3-week series. So you can do this to move from an attender to a contender. We got a prayer card. I think there should be a prayer card in your program. Is there not? Was there anything about prayer in your card? I was thinking there was going to be. Okay, is it the prayer card? Good. So pray that. There's the prayer card. The Roots bracelet. If you don't have a Roots bracelet, I think we have some more at the storefront. Stop by. And what it is it's just a reminder to pray. It says pray continually. That's what we want you to do. And number three, you can sign up with Facebook, which if you do that, if you connect to The Rock as a friend, then you'll get Twitter announcements as well. We're going to be sending out prayer announcements every week, so you can be praying for this event for these next 30 days, all right? We want to pray. This is where it starts with. So let's say the three things you're going to remember as we end here. What's the first dangerous prayer? God, search me. Number two, God, lead me. Number three, God, use me. Lord, we just do pray that. Ask that you would help us be ones that you search, that God, you look at our hearts. And we do pray it honestly, sincerely. Search our hearts, God. We may not like what you show us, but we want to be used by you. So God, then lead us. We want to give you control of our lives. And God, use us. Lord, just ordinary people. We want to be like Joe Delaney. He'll do whatever it takes. He laid down his life for others. We want to do the same thing. God, what are you going to do in the next 10 years? I can't imagine. Lord, we just thank you for what you've done. We thank you for the ability and the desire for us to increase faith, that people here tonight want to have their faith challenged and increased. I pray that you would do that very thing. So we commit this night to you. Again, God, search us, lead us, and use us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.